Well, good evening. I'll make this statement, and I don't want to make it to be comical, but after you come behind a teaching like that, you really say to yourself, what do I do? Is this class even going to listen to what I'm saying tonight? Because they still on there in the glory. And, you know, that may sound comical, but it's the truth. I hope that this school and the students here, the instructors here, recognize what God is doing and the great leadership that we're up under. You know, I'm 56 years old. I've shared with you my testimony before. I never had no problem with anything concerning the church because I was born and raised in the church. But I must tell you, I have never been impacted. And it's not one thing in Dad's life or the apostle's life. It's everything. His connection with God has made even his natural life exemplatory. So we have someone worthy of following, worthy of honoring. So we should do so. Amen? This class is Catching the Waves of Revival. One of the things, I go over lessons over and over and over, because one of the things I find out about the body of Christ, we like to learn new things, and so we end up being in the state of ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth, because we don't like to be trained. Oh, y'all might as well say amen, because I'm telling the truth, all right? The first thing we need to understand about revival is it's not an event. You know, you have the church announce, come on, we're going to have a revival. Well, you might well say amen. But a revival is constant. I mean, if we are growing in grace, huh, and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the first indication that you ain't going to ever absorb all of this. Y'all follow what I'm saying? So revival starts, watch this now, as a unquenchable thirst that only a supernatural source can satisfy. I'll say that again. Revival starts as a unquenchable thirst. I always mention this, but I love the way the marketing group for EIWM, where when Dad opens up, he says, we need to be on the cutting edge. You cannot be on the cutting edge if you're feeding off of old manna and drinking old wine and have a new wine, old wine skin. You know, we're talking about functioning in the supernatural. And the quickest way to transition from the natural to the supernatural is praying in the Holy Ghost. In the class that we just came out of, where Apostle was talking about the glory, he said God doesn't do anything except he first sends his Holy Spirit. Is that right? Before God does anything, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And then the Bible says he was waiting for God to say something. See, when the Holy Ghost, when God speaks, the Holy Ghost pounces. You see, he is the manifester. So if you're going to have an unquenchable thirst, then you must have a relationship with God the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Because he is the supernatural power of God. As a matter of fact, this is a statement we need to understand. The Bible says that in Jesus, dwelt the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. In Jesus. Your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit was in the earth realm functioning. Hello. That's true revival. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Now, Matthew 6:6, you need to put these two scriptures down. Matthew 6:6, we need to have an unquenchable thirst. We need to be hungry. Championship teams are not satisfied with one championship. Come on. No. If you want a dynasty, you want to be considered a team that dominates, you can't win one championship. You have to be like the Pittsburgh Steelers. Y'all know about people like that. I'm sorry, you girls, I might need to find another example because some of y'all probably don't know nothing what I'm talking about. But in football, a dynasty is, you know, we done won four Super Bowls. In basketball, we done won 6 of the last 8 championships. That's right. Michael Jordan was a part of a dynasty. And if the truth be told, if his father wouldn't have died, he probably would have had about 12 rings. That's just the truth. Because I didn't see nobody that could beat him. Okay. Matthew Gospel, chapter 6, verse number 6. What does it say?
But thou, when thou prayest.
Is that Matthew 6, 6? I'm looking for the verse that say, blessed are you when you hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, it's 5? Okay. Yeah, I know I'm in the right chapter. Let's get the right verse. See, it's Matthew. Yeah, that's right. It's Matthew 5. You're right. The Beatitudes. See, I had the Beatitudes in my mind and had 6. That's okay. You know where it's at. Get to it. I ain't trying to be perfect. You know it's in the Bible. Matthew 5:6. What does the Bible say?
Blessed are they which do hunger.
Notice the phrase. It didn't just say, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that do hunger and what?
And thirst. After righteousness.
After what?
Righteousness.
What?
For they shall.
They shall be what? Filled. Now watch this. It is the agenda. It is the purpose of the Holy Spirit to cause us to be so thirsty for the things of God. See, you have to develop this. This is not something that you just get automatically. You have to develop a personal pursuit of the things of God. Psalm 63. Everybody want to talk about producing great things for God, but there's some training got to be done. And some things got to be caught, not taught. I can't really, in a sense, teach you to pursue. This got to be something you catch and understand. If I'm going to go to the next level, I'm going to have to get off my rusty dusty and do something. While somebody watching their favorite television show, I got to be watching a pasta on Roku.
Yeah.
When I get up first thing in the morning, I don't want to see no biscuit. First person I won't meet when I get up is God.
Yeah.
I want to pursue him. So that's what I'm about to show you. Psalm 63, verse 1, read it. What does it say?
O God, thou art my God.
Hold up. That talks about relationship.
Yeah.
You know, in Christianity, God is just God to some of us. But David say, O God, you are my God. Come on, read.
Early will I see.
Notice what he said. Early. No, he didn't. He say, after I go to work, 10 o'clock at night after I finish the news, and I'm so tired I got 2 minutes to babble so I can tongue myself to sleep. No, I believe early, this is what early means to me. First. The first, Jesus rose up from the dead. Come on, resurrection was early on Easter morning. At the break of day, at the break of dawn, early. That means first. Early. First thing you ought to do when you hit the flow, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to find some place where I can go. I'll go in the garage, me, if I have to. Cause I don't like to be disturbed. I'll go sit in the car and pray. Well, I like to be in a quiet spot. I'm not just saying this, y'all. I do this. My son sometime will come home and what you doing in here? Praying for you. Hello, that get him out the garage, right? Okay, Dad. All right. Come on, read it. Early will I seek you.
My soul thirsted for you.
My soul thirsted for you. Come on.
My flesh longed for you.
Uh-oh. My flesh longed. Wait a minute. The king, my spirit, is on the throne. My soul, my servant, huh? My soul what?
My soul.
Thirsted for you. My soul. See, my king. It's telling my servant, be thirsty for me.
Yeah.
And then when my king, my spirit, and my servant, my soul, get together, it'll cause my flesh to long for it. In a dry and what? Thirsty land. Where no water is. Now, it's one thing to be dry and thirsty. But where no water is, that means there's no moisture. There's not even a chance that this ground is going to get wet. So that's where we need to be. Read.
To see thy power.
Because it's not just about. It has a purpose. See, in this revival, God's going to release such power. It's going to be undeniable. Where the glory is, the power show up. Come on now. Come on. Yeah, you better believe it. God wants his glory. The Bible says the glory of God shall be seen in all of the earth. You know, that's why I say revival is constant. We act like revival is event to event to event to event. No, revival is just constant. God is always. Why did the Apostle John, who wrote the book of John, say these words? If I recorded everything that Jesus did, I suppose that the world don't even have a book big enough to contain it. So y'all know what to tell me about the space of 3 years, he did so many miracles. Why? He was walking in the fullness of God's glory. Every day was a revival when you were with Jesus. Y'all ready for this? Every day should be a revival when you wake up. See, I believe we are called to change atmospheres. I don't care who you are. I believe when you have this relationship with God and when somebody come in contact with you, they ought to know it. You got a divine mark. You different. And I'm not talking about quoting scriptures either. I'm talking about manifesting them. Read the Bible.
To see thy power and thy glory.
I want to see your power and I want to see your glory.
So as I have seen you,
Father, in the sanctuary. All right? We'll stop right there. But I wanted you to get that picture. That your soul can thirst and your flesh can long for God. That shows a pursuit. And then it's so vivid because it say that thirst and that hunger got to be like you in a land that's dry and they don't have no water. Are you with me? All right. Then we have, once again, this is based upon the statement, revival starts as an unquenchable thirst. You can't get in the comfort zone and maintain revival. Come on now. You read enough Bible. See, God will not allow you to get in the comfort zone. Oh, we ain't gonna like this. Y'all put everything on the devil. Well, some of y'all calling God the devil. Because when you get real comfortable, y'all remember God sent the prophet Elijah to a brook. Come on. And he said, at this brook, I'm going to command the ravens to feed you. Y'all kind of quiet now. The ravens was feeding him. Huh? Right? Twice a day. Got good meals. He ain't had to worry about water because he can sip out the brook. But when the brook dried up, he know he had to move. Come on, y'all not talking to me. Sometimes your brook dry up because you've been drinking out of that well. You too comfortable. There's another level waiting on you. The Bible says every branch in me that bears fruit, I purge it. I get rid of some people in your life that you attach to. I move you from that old denomination you've been in. We're talking about revival. I disconnect you from that preacher who don't want to go to the next round. And I send you somebody who I put a mark on. Y'all with me? See, there's some things God is doing right now. See, it don't matter if people like Apostle Thompson or not. Don't matter. Jesus wasn't like. They called him the devil. The man who cast out devils, healed the sick, raised the dead, did more miracles than anybody. They say, we know why you do that. You the devil yourself. You the prince of devils, Beelzebub. Jesus didn't worry about him. Jesus said, I came to work the works that my father sent me to do. Call me the devil if you want to, but I'm still going to kick your butt. All right. Y'all in St. John 4 yet? Because see, we're talking about being thirsty. Come on, St. John 4. See if we can get this verse right. Hallelujah. He met the woman at the well. Verse number, as I say like that, chicken scratch. St. John 4. No, I don't want to start the beginning. We ain't got all day. I'm trying to see what. No, 10, I believe. What 4:10 say?
Jesus has answered and said unto her.
Yeah, that's the first I want. Now, remember, Jesus met this woman. Jesus, number one, said, I have needs to go through Samaria. Then there's this woman he meet, and she's coming to draw some water out the well. So Jesus, being on a long journey, was thirsty. So he asked her for some water. St. John 4:10, what did it say?
Jesus answered and said unto her.
Jesus answered and said unto her.
If thou knewest the gift of God.
Okay, well, this is after, number one, he asked her for a drink of water. Right?
Yes,
all right. Jesus, now watch Jesus, because what I'm trying to show you tonight is we're talking about a supernatural source. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The answer that we need to win people into the kingdom is supernatural. We got to know what make people tick and not tick. Read.
If thou knewest the gift of God.
Jesus told this woman, if you knew the gift of God.
And who it is that said to thee.
And who is the person that was sent to you.
Give me to drink.
That's telling you, give me something to drink.
Thou wouldst have asked of him.
You would have asked of me.
And he would have given thee living water.
And I would have given you some living water. That had to be supernatural. I would give you some living water. Read. The woman said unto Jesus,
Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with.
Uh-oh. Thou hast nothing to draw with, which brings me to this point. Do you realize that you have living rivers? See, that's why you have to first be filled with the Spirit. Born of the Spirit, one level. Born of the Spirit is a well. But if you... You can take a well and suck it dry. But a river, that's a whole nother level. Are you with me? The woman tells Jesus, you don't have nothing to draw with.
And the well is deep.
And I'm going to say this to you tonight. If you aren't filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're not going to be able to draw this living water like I'm talking about drawing. Because the purpose of drawing water is to cause it to flow. As long as it's in a well, it's contained. Y'all, come on, talk to me up here. But we're talking about being thirsty to the point where you're so thirsty, now you're going to cause that river to flow. Read the Bible.
And the well is deep.
She said the well is deep.
From whence then hast thou that living water?
Where you got this living water from? Read.
Or thou greater than our father Jacob.
You greater than our father Jacob.
Which gave us this
well,
and drank thereof himself,
and his children and his cattle.
Jesus answered and said unto,
her, whosoever drink of the water that's coming out, your great uncle and mama and papa, all these people you naming well,
shall thirst again.
Yeah, no. Listen, y'all, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm about to tell y'all something. That's like going back to that old church you want to keep going back to. You can't come to a school like this and run back to something that's not teaching this. You just can't do it. You don't mix oil and water. You can't hear this and go run back talking about I'm going to go sit in it. No, you got to come from amongst them. Okay, read.
Whoso drank it of this water
shall thirst again.
But whoso drank it of the water,
notice who's giving the water. Jesus said, I'm going to give you this water. If you drink of the water that I'm going to give you, you shall never thirst. For the water that I shall give you
shall be in
you.
A well of water
springing up into everlasting life. Now watch this. It's amazing to me how God shows progressive. See, just come out of a class where Apostle talked about progressive revelation. Now, if you would have read that, you would have thought that Jesus really knew what he was talking about. Come on, wait a minute, because he talked about a well. Then he said, the water that I'm going to give you is going to be a well. Oh, come on now. But Jesus said, hold up now, just don't hang out on that. Let's go just a few. Now, I'm saying chapters, but the Bible was never written in chapters and verses. All right, let's keep on with the conversation. Turn to St. John chapter 7. Because I'm talking about in revival, you must maintain a unquenchable thirst and a unquenchable pursuit of God. If not, you're going to be like all of the major denominations, even the church that I came out of, the Church of God in Christ. We got so addicted on ourselves, we made a song. Yeah, this is the Church of God in Christ. This is how the song went. This is the Church of God in Christ. Watch this now. You can't join in. You got to be born in. Now, this is, but you see, when you're singing that and the kid hear it, I never had the revelation that it was telling me this is the Church of God which is in Christ. I just had the revelation that that was the church name up there, and anybody on the outside of that church was not saved, all of them was going to hell. And you want me to tell you where I got that from? Everybody that preached. Because this is what they said. Everybody else was going to hell but us. That's okay, y'all don't want to get with me. Maybe some of y'all was Kojic. Maybe some of y'all was Kojic. Maybe some, you was Kojic, weren't you? Yeah, you was Kojic. He was one of the chief Pharisees with me. We put everybody in hell. Assemblies of God, if you wore makeup, you went to hell. If you wore pants, you went to hell. I mean, anything. Catholic, you going to hell. Baptist, you baptized in hell. Methodist, you have a method of getting to hell. I mean, did you hear? Now, ask him. This is the truth, ma'am. I'm not trying to play here. See, that's why churches get stuck. They get stuck. They get stuck on themselves. Apostles are pathway cutters. They go ahead, and they got to take the hell to go. Because most church folk want to get comfortable. You heard what the apostle said. See, I don't want to look down at somebody to say I have achieved. Revival says I never achieve because I'm in constant pursuit of God. Okay, read. Let's read.
In the last day,
that great day of the feast.
Jesus stood and cried.
Now that's St. John 7:37. Yeah. All right. In that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried.
Saying, if any man thirst, what?
Let him come unto me. Well, watch this. I not only give the water, but I'm not only going to give you water, but I'm going to give you some water that you're going to drink. Watch this now. This is crazy, but it's supernatural. I'm going to give you some water that you're going to drink. It's going to satisfy your thirst. And then at the same time, it's going to make you thirsty again. Oh, I know. Yeah, because if you don't remain thirsty, you're going to quit pursuing. Come on now. Come on now. If you are not, see, Apostle have us on this prayer thing every day. I got over 153 things coming to my phone. My phone lights up all hours of the night, all during the day. But I'm not mad about it because I believe that prayer is the key to what God is doing right now, and specifically praying in the Spirit. This is where this, see, it's being birthed in a realm that cannot be seen. See, tongues is more important than just getting filled the initial time. That's what Jesus is about to show here. In St. John 4, I was talking about the new birth, being born of the Spirit. But in St. John 7, I'm talking about being filled with a river. So read it, what it says.
He that believeth on me,
as the scripture had said,
out of his belly.
All right, here it is. Come on, put your hand on your belly. Out of my belly.
Out of my belly.
Shall flow rivers of what? All right, now watch this. Oh boy. See, the Lord can talk to you. See, God put a well in you. Hello. That's for you to drink. But when the river comes, somebody gonna get something to drink. I'm gonna go over here because y'all didn't say nothing. I'm not trying to preach, I'm trying to show you something. You need to come out that well and go get in the river. Because the well is for you, the river for everybody. What's in your wallet? All right, so y'all saw those two things. See, it's a progression. I want you to understand, you're in the midst of a revival right now. Some of you are going to graduate from school, and you're going to act like you hung the moon and the stars, because they're going to give you that little certificate saying you graduated from the training center. But baby, let me tell you this right now. This ought to be a lifetime commitment. Because as apostle continues to grow and expand as an apostle, he's training other apostles and other ministry gifts. That's exactly what he's doing. So guess what? I'm a career student. Even if I don't teach, I'm a career student. Because I wasn't teaching. I was a career student. I started coming, sitting there watching, listening in class. So I don't have time to be, you don't graduate. There's something we need to remember. We talked about revival, the principle of continuance. Everybody have continuing education but the church. We always arrive. I'm filled with the Spirit. You have not arrived. You just getting started. All right, y'all got that? All right, so those examples, you got that. Number two, revival is the coming on of a new freshness. Say a new freshness. From the supernatural provision of God. See, I believe we now, you know, y'all know God has given to apostles the words money cometh. Those words are the DNA of those words is supernatural provision. You heard me? I said the DNA of money cometh is supernatural provision. You listening to me? There's a freshness about money cometh that I believe we have to embrace. These words were given to him for us. And we must embrace them as so. They can never become stale. I'm just trying to help you because I'm talking about this freshness, Psalm 92 and 10. Let's see if we can get that right. Psalm 92 and 10. Revival is the coming on of a new freshness. A new freshness. Y'all want to know how to stay fresh every day? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Huh? Pray in the Holy Ghost. You want to be fresh every day? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. I didn't say one time a day either. I believe God is bringing the church back to the place where we pray three times a day. This generation is lazy. This generation wants the moon and the stars and give. This is indicative of this generation because we got everything is about fast food. Order it at the window, drive around the corner and get it, and when you get home, it's not what you ordered. Now, why y'all act like some of y'all still cussing over it? I hope you don't. No, that's okay. I'm not going to ask no questions. But I'm just trying to say, you get home, you get so mad that your hamburger is not in there. They gave you a chicken sandwich. But we're in this microwave generation that don't want to fast, don't want to pray. Oh, Lord, don't even tell this generation nothing about fasting. What? You can say it. Don't eat for 3 days? Are you out your mind? Don't eat for 21 days? Now, there were some things I learned in coaching. I just got to be real with y'all. Now, you know, we have grown. Sometimes you can grow so much spiritually that you so think you're growing spiritually, you throw away your handle. I'll tell you what I mean. Fasting has a purpose. Oh, I know y'all don't like it. Fasting has a purpose. Fasting is not for God, it's for you. But the problem is we're not taking the time to fast and pray no more. Oh, we won't do a lot of praying, but we don't hear too much about fasting no more. Because fasting means I got to put some flesh down. See, are y'all ready for this? Y'all ready for this? It's amazing. It's amazing. You can pretty much go, you know, do pretty good being hungry, you know, during the course of a day, you get hungry. I'm okay with that because I can get something to eat later. Tell you what, it's the minute you declare that you're going to fast that you're going to find out what hunger is all about. Because when you declare you're going to fast, your flesh going to act up. See, the purpose of fasting is to cause your flesh to come down, to cause your spirit to ascend. But we don't want that no more. If we can see we are the generation that just want we want stuff, but the path of least resistance. No, I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of fasting, but I believe that's one of the areas that the church have gotten away from. We don't want fast no more. As a boy, I would spend 3 days in church. Y'all kind of quiet. You know, but I'm gonna tell you what. Fasting make food look real good too. Y'all kind of quiet. Yeah, fasting make food look good. I swear one time that corn was so yellow, but I had fasted for 21 days. They all say, oh God, this corn is, oh Jesus, this is the best color corn ever looked. No, children, now we did it without food and water. We was ignorant, but I will say this to you. Concerning the early church that I grew up in, they had more power than this church I see today. I know y'all ain't gonna like it, but when people in the church that I grew up in got sick, they made a few calls. They wasn't calling the hospital. They started calling all the churches. They say, Sister so-and-so in the hospital with cancer. Y'all better hear what I'm saying. Y'all ready for this? They would call a fast and start praying. No, I know most people want to say the fast healed them, but it wasn't a fast. It was the fact that they were willing to discipline their flesh, get in the presence of God, and they, watch this, they prayed until the situation changed. They got a lady right now, today, her name's Sister Matt, was attacked in our body, I think it was twice with cancer, and both times they prayed her from death to life. But I thought y'all wanted a revival. You won't catch the wave, but you just think you're going to get on a surfboard. No, baby, it's going to cost you to get on this thing. You want to follow Apostle? I'm going to tell you right now. Anybody want to follow Apostle? Let's get some things straight. It ain't what you think. If you think it's hokey-dory, I tell you what, don't get too close. He will burn you. Y'all kind of quiet because he's just straightforward, straight to the point. He's a commander, and he changed direction so fast, you'll get frustrated following him if you don't know who he is. Because he ain't here to follow you. I'm just telling you, he is who God made him to be. And his training is second to none. I said second to none. First of all, I never heard a man talking about, I've been seeking God for 40 years, and 40 years every day. No, y'all didn't hear me. 40 years every day. I know preachers don't see God but once a year. And go to www.getasermon.com and try to preach it. I'm just trying to show y'all. We have something that's worthy here. So we need to fast. Oh, man, if I can just pray in the spirit. Praying in the spirit is great. We got to do something with the flesh. Well, I don't want to hear that. Well, that's the problem. See, Kenneth Hagin wrote a book. I know why. I'm going to kill Word of Faith again. Here we go. We read a book called Living a Fasted Life. And in the book, it was saying you can live a fasted life. You just don't eat, you know, where you don't get too full. Right. That's why I say right. Because most of us eat, we can't even hear God. Oh, y'all don't want to talk. No, I'm not trying to make a religion out of fasting, y'all, but fasting, if Jesus fasted, y'all kind of quiet. Why we don't talk about it? Jesus fasted. The Bible said Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, a hard place, to be tempted of the devil. And during the course of the temptation, ma'am, he needed to have himself separated from his flesh. Y'all kind of quiet. The enemy showed up at his weakest moment, but it was his strongest moment. Y'all okay. His flesh might have been weak because it was hungry, but his spirit had ascended. So when Satan was even quoting scripture to get him off. But he had to discernment to know, you can't use that word on me. I'm not here to tempt God to prove nothing to you. I know I'm the Son of God. The Spirit of God that descended upon me and remained upon me. Hello? I know I'm the Son of God. Turning this stone bread ain't going to prove I am. I am. I am. I'm the bread of life. Y'all listening? See, he allowed his spirit. Yeah, somebody say, he fat. Let me tell y'all something. Read the Bible. Not only did he fast for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterward was a hunger, he spent much time in prayer. He didn't even choose the 12 till he prayed. Then, y'all ready for this? Then in prayer, he said, I got to choose one of you, who the devil? Now, how would you have treated the devil on your team? I promise you, all of the 11 would have knew who your devil was, because you would have been calling him out every week. Yeah, that Negro don't like me. He's stabbing me in my back. Jesus, on the other hand, because he was a man of the spirit, Jesus, on the other hand, just kept training, never pointed him out, just kept training. Then one day he said, I chose 12 of you and one of you is the devil. And everybody started asking the question, is it me? Is it me? Is it me? Why was everybody asking the question? Because he never used it as an occasion to expose who he was. I wish somebody, I thought y'all wanted a revival. Well, we have to pray. We have to fast. See, another thing fasting will do. Somebody said, this man went back to his Kojic roots. I'm going to tell you what fasting will do. It will cause you to crucify that flesh. But we won't crucify the flesh without the fasting. Yeah. Oh, no, that's old school, Reverend. No, Well, how come everybody else fasted? The apostles fasted and gave themselves continually to the word and prayer. I'm just saying, sometimes we introduce concepts that get people off of the track that they should have stayed on. They are foundational things that you should never get away from. If you are an athlete and played any type of sports, in your training, there were basic things you did every day. You went, you warmed up, did your side throttle hops and all that, you know, touching your legs, duck walking, all kinds. Y'all know what I'm saying if you're an athlete up here? They took you through that same regimen every day. Why? For a reason, for training, so that when the test came. See, I played on championship teams, and this is what my coach told me. He said, we might not be the biggest, but we're going to so train, we will be the most disciplined. And I know y'all don't like this, but fasting will bring discipline to your life. Oh, Lord, let's keep going. They say, please turn the page. I'm so sorry I came here tonight. Revival is the coming on of a new freshness from the supernatural provision of God. We read Psalm 92 and 10. No, we didn't. Read it. Read it.
But my horn shall thou exalt.
But my horn shall you exhort.
Like the horn of a unicorn.
Like the horn of a unicorn.
I shall be anointed.
I shall be anointed with what?
Fresh oil.
Every one of us, we need fresh oil. Fresh oil. You know how you maintain fresh oil? Pray in tongues. See, we have a dual working of the Holy Spirit. We don't only have the Holy Spirit within. We have where the Holy Spirit can come upon. See? We're not only filled with the Holy Spirit. Come on now. And if you've never felt him come upon you, oh, man, ain't nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. That's all I'm going to tell you. Leave it right there. All right? So then we have Deuteronomy 8. Come on, Deuteronomy 8. I want you to look at that. And let me see what I'm working with here so I can go to some other thing. Well, I ain't working with much. All right, we'll do Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 4. Then next class, I'll give you the seven things I wanted to get through. All right, Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 4, real quick. What does it say?
All the commandments which I command thee
this day. All the commandments which I command you this day.
Shall you observe to do.
That you may live.
And multiply.
And go in. And possess the land
which the Lord swear.
All right, now I want to talk to y'all real quick, because I'm going to have a few seconds left. When you read the Bible about possessing the promised land, that was really about you possessing you. Because all of them ites you read about that was in Canaan, that had to be driven out, that was really things in you that you need to drive out through fasting and praying that you can inherit your promised land. So, you know, just keep reading chapter 1. Like I said, there are 7 things I want to go through that talks about revival under the Old Testament. And one of them is going to talk about the key of prayer. So your meditation scripture will be 2 Chronicles 7:14, because that's where we're going to pick up next time we get together.